The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Outstanding issues that have just stood there, absolutely frozen for years now, like the oil revenue law or the constitutional reform. All of these things need to be resolved.
Nightmare in Iraq. Secretary of State Kerry talking about just how heavy it is there, including whether or not to be full on in this rescue mission for the Iraqis trapped on a mountain. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This is where we start. 130 military planners is what they're being called, are on the way to rescue, relocate thousands of Iraqis. They are trapped on Mount Sinjar, and they're trapped because the Islamic militants want them to be. They've positioned it so that they're there. It scares me thinking, can you imagine the damage they can do with the weaponry they have and more of it that's coming in? Right now, the Kurds have fended off the onslaught, but they're in big trouble. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the weapons. They need help. So the U.S. is once again on the way to help out. We keep hearing over and over again, it's not about combat. This isn't a combat thing. Really? What happens when weapons are pointed right at the face of our people, whether they're diplomats or they're strategists or planners or, oh, yeah, they're wearing fatigues. They're military folks, right? So we got to call it what it is. We're bailing them out. And this is troublesome because I think it's going to explode and get that much worse from everything that I hear that's happening at the Pentagon. So despite these airstrikes aimed at fighters from the Islamic State, which is that militant group, which previously was known as ISIS, Kurdish fighters say that they're on constant attack on a whole bunch of fronts. They're having a hard time. They are right now fending it off, but they're having a really rough time of it. They need more weapons. They need help in doing what they need to be able to do. And the Islamic State is just pushing on, pushing on. They threaten to do this, and they are doing it. They have this planned and calculated. They knew it was happening. They're raising more money. They have more people involved in their cause. And it's scary. One Kurdish intelligence officer, I listened to him today, said they want to take it all. And when he said they want to take it all, what do you think he meant? He said the troops, the Islamic State troops, want to go everywhere, not just here in Iraq. They want to go to Paris. They want to go to Washington. They want to go to Cairo. They want to go to London. That's what we're hearing. They want to attack everywhere. This is something to be concerned about. How many fighters have poured in to try to help in that northwestern border? 1,500. And then again, you have another situation where you have people that are desperate to get out. The great hope now is the new prime minister, Haider Badi. Can this guy pull it together, have some kind of an inclusive government that could possibly undermine Sunni tribal support for the Islamic State? It's not looking great, folks, though, right now. Not to put a damper on the guy we're backing, but it's just gotten that bad. And we're drawn in to this. And what the soldiers are saying is, hey, we know the U.S. is strong and that we're going to win here. And they wouldn't do this if they don't want to finish it. But I thought we did finish it. We left. And now we're stuck. We're stuck in a very odd spot. Because I think in Washington, I know in Washington, they're trying to downplay it. Hey, we're not, no boots on the ground. That's not really, we're not combat. That's not it. That's not what we're doing. The Kurds are desperate. They are desperate for U.S. help big time. And then you have the incumbent Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who does nothing but get in the way. He was another version of Saddam Hussein, if we call it like it is, only from a different religious sect. And that was part of the problem and what caused a lot of this. It is so bad that a helicopter that was there to help people doing a humanitarian thing, water drops and all that kind of stuff, just delivering as much aid as possible to the people who are completely displaced on Iraq's Sinjar Mountain, crashed, killed the pilot, injured a bunch of other passengers, including a New York Times reporter who happened to be on board. And part of this was so many people were trying to board it. While it was taking off of the mountain, they were grabbing on and trying to jump on for fear of their life, that we got to get out of here. So that's what happened. Sadly, the helicopter pilot killed in this. So tens of thousands of people have fled their homes after the invaders from the Islamic State group told them this, went to their homes, went to the towns and said, convert to Islam or be killed. Do it or be killed. There is something that has made the rounds on, it went viral, where there is a 7-year-old boy who's holding up a severed head to show, hey, this is the response. You don't want to turn. You don't want to become an Islamist. You don't want to join our group. Take a look at this. And it is the scariest thing that you have ever seen. Even Kerry addressed that earlier in the day, brought it up, talked about seeing it. They realize that this is serious stuff, but still you have the balance of knowing that all of us would explode over the idea of full-on war and a surge and being completely back in that country. So the Iraq strategy is all over the board. Got the people trapped on the mountain, Mount Sinjar. What do you do? How do you help them? You see the helicopter being pulled out of the sky because people know that they're stuck. They don't want to become Muslim, and they're being told, do it or die. And this is where they're stuck. We have 130 people going in, military planners. So what are they going to do? How much are they going to be threatened and be put in a situation where we're talking about combat? I think more than you would think. Keep your eye on what's going on in Iraq. How much are you willing to invest back into that country? The more chilling details that you hear that are starting to pour out of every corner of that country. And I think the big problem was they should have switched the prime minister out. That should have happened a long time ago, but it did not. Hey, coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're also going to talk more about Robin Williams. Dr. Jay Singh joins us. Maybe this peels back a layer a little bit more on mental illness, depression, battles with addiction, that kind of thing. Suicide hotlines supposedly across the nation really blew up today in the wake of Robin Williams' suicide. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. The mailbag once again is full of a lot of different things. Robin Williams still heavy on the mind of so many people. What's going on in Iraq? You know, I call it the quicksand in the Middle East. It's sad. And now Iraq taking front and center. But we've got the ceasefire going on between Israel and the Palestinians. The Gaza Strip continues to be a focal point. But Iraq now, with all these people trying to jump in a helicopter, crashing it, they're just desperate to get out of there. It's sad, really, to see that Sinjar Mountain scene. And the fact that they're basically told, convert or die. Could that be a worse nightmare? So we got 130 people plus over there trying to help. And, boy, it's got to be speedy. Whatever happens there has to happen quickly, and the U.S. is directly arming the Kurds in Iraq because the Islamic State is locked and loaded. They've got a ton of weaponry, and they're getting more each and every day that pours in, and I think they had a lot of the strategy, of course, already laid out. So, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Jason, he says, Kate, you know what? What happens if we get to this position in Iraq where we see all of the work that was done just explode in a different direction as it is? What happens if suddenly Obama decides to say, okay, we've got to have a bigger force. We have to have boots on the ground. Do you think Congress would back that and would vote for that? Oh, no. I think they would not. That's the thing. It's the whole business of politics with Iraq. I mean, we are gone. We're still in Afghanistan pulling out at the end of the year. There's no way. I mean, more military advisors wrapping it into different things and calling it different things. But full on, we're back again. We're backing this prime minister. We're helping with the cabinet, which is happening. But other than that, full on, full scale, we're back in the country. No way. You know, you want to talk about people in the United States going nuts. They would completely go nuts over that, don't you think? I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. And I think you can put the labels aside once again. Democrat, Republican, Independent, Undecided, no. I'd say 95% of the nation would say no way. Now, there would be a small window. In fact, there is even a few politicians that would say, yeah, absolutely, we need a little bit of a surge, but I don't think so. All right, we got another one along those lines. This one from Randy, who says, Kate, I listen to the show as much as possible. I have kind of a wacky schedule. Sometimes I'm on your schedule, and sometimes I do a morning shift, but I try to catch it whenever I can or download it from the website. And thank you very much. I love some of the things that you talk about. When you talk about Iraq, and you've had some great guests on about it, it is so frustrating to see what is happening there because clearly, as you have stated many times, it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that there was no melding between the Sunnis, the Shias, and the Kurds, so there naturally was going to be a tilt in power, and it would be ripe for the opportunity for an Islamic group to come in and try and take over, which is exactly what's happened. Yeah, bingo. 10 points to you. It's what we keep saying. That sure, that it was never inclusive. Nouri al-Maliki's government wasn't inclusive, so there wasn't this kumbaya moment where, oh, Saddam Hussein is gone. Hey, brother, now we got freedom. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're designing the government. And of course, there's going to be naysayers, and there's going to be the errant problem with terrorism, but not now to the level we've seen. Why? Because of vulnerability. It's very easy to whip up the disenfranchised when they're not included, and they weren't included. So now this new government, geez, we're going to be inclusive. But sometimes it's a little bit too late, and I think it's a little bit too late. You see the people on the mountain, and it is scary to see that. And you see people just running for the border, which has already happened. So creating this Iraq cabinet and trying to include, you know, We'll include Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds, and yeah, it'll be perfect. Let's hope I'm wrong. I mean, but it has to happen now, and it is happening. However, I think that this group is just that strong, and each day they get stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay, one more along those lines. This one from Maureen, listening to us in the great state of Florida. Kate, I have been listening to you since probably mid-July. I love it. I'm telling all my friends, and I think you even have friends in the Sarasota area because I've heard you mention it a couple of different times. But anyway, I like the idea that you talk about a lot of different things. You're not droning on about the same deal over and over again. I agree with you as far as what you say about quicksand in the Middle East. It's so sad to see some of the things that we've seen, and how far can we stretch? There is that Gumby mentality, and unfortunately, that has gotten the president into trouble. I really voted for him, especially the first time, and was looking forward to hope and change, and maybe we got a little bit of that, and then maybe we got a little bit of the I can't decide. Not sure, but a lot of people, as you say, that are Democrats, I count myself certainly in that group, very, very disappointed in what we've seen in this second term, and Iraq is, at this point, more than a crisis. What do you think? Yeah, it's more than in crisis. Yeah, chaos, whatever you want to call it. And now, new government, new cabinet, figuring out, okay, how do we get rid of the Islamic State, because they're getting bigger, they're pretty powerful. We're not going to send in an army to wipe them out. who else is going to send anybody in? Nobody. So they have to, the Iraqis have to fight them. And remember, it wasn't too long ago, I can remember going on the air where I was talking about the fact that the military, they were laying down their arms. You had guys that were laying down their arms and running away because they wanted nothing to do with it. Now you need everybody trained, military, police-wise, to handle this massive takeover, because that's what they're trying to do. I mean, going into a village and saying, you know, become a Muslim or you die, which is why they ran to the mountaintop. Well, yeah, I don't want to become a Muslim, so I'm running to the mountaintop. And this is Sinjar Mountain, by the way. A helicopter crashed, one of our helicopters, trying to give aid to the people on the ground, water and supplies, that kind of thing. And then he tried to get on the helicopter, and it crashed. The pilot was killed. A New York Times reporter was injured in it, but is fine. And there were some other people that were injured as well. And it shows you the desperation. Just, you know, please, please, take me. Take my child. Get me out of here. Very, very scary to watch that. All right, quickly, let's take, I'm going to try to do two more emails. This one from Heath, new email. I don't think I've ever heard from Heath before. Heath says, Kate, very depressing about Robin Williams. I have to tell you, he's one of my idols. He made me laugh from the very, very beginning. I am 40 years old, and I watched reruns of Mork and Mindy, and I like almost all of Robin Williams' movies. It's too bad that somebody couldn't have helped him more, although it sounds like he had a lot of support. You cannot force someone who's depressed not to be depressed anymore. You can only get them into programs, and he had done that. So something tripped him up enough that he just felt like he couldn't go on, and that is depressing, 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 because the world loses a great comedic genius. Yeah, absolutely. Here's one from Jake, listening to us in Austin, Texas. He emails a lot. Jake says, hey, Kate, what up? Terrible news on Robin Williams. I think that the world has lost a really clever, funny man who somehow managed to make us laugh, cry, and everything in between. Rip Robin Williams. He's making somebody upstairs laugh a little bit harder, I'm sure, at this moment. Yes, it's very sad. And today the coroner comes out and just had more details about the way he died. And they say they're still giving the official report in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, it's the reaction. It's the reaction to thinking of some of those movies, some of those voices, some of the creative, clever things that he did. And he helped the troops. He did 12 years of USO shows, and he was well-loved by the military. Hang with us.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Hey folks, this is Larry Crisp for BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com. I'm sure you know, this economy sucks. We all realize that the American economy is tremendously unstable right now and will likely get much worse. There's monumental debt, government bailouts, stock and real estate bubbles that are primed to pop at any moment, which can flush away most or all of your retirement savings. This type of movement has enormous consequences. Virtually zero sectors of the economy are hiring and workforce participation is at record lows. Financial trouble is right here at our doorstep. But if you move right now and develop a backup plan immediately, this could be the most profitable time of your life. Proportionally, more millionaires were created during the Great Depression than at any time in our history. Get my free report at BabyBoomerBackupPlan.com or call 888-507-8789 for my free report. 888-507-8789 and prepare to profit as history repeats itself.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Of course, we've been talking about the sad death, the tragic death of Oscar winner Robin Williams, who touched so many lives and had an incredible body of work from serious to very, very funny, funny on stage and voices and just everything he did. He really came to life. Plus, he touched the lives of so many troops as he donated to the USO and had done for 12 years so many of those shows and other charities and whatnot that he was a part of. So then when you think, okay, here's this guy who makes us laugh, who makes us cry, who makes us think, and then you hear about his death that's ruled a suicide of asphyxiation, hanging is what they said officially today, and apparently had tried to cut himself too as well. And you hear some reaction from close friends who were interviewed who say that they knew he was really struggling, but he had a lot of love and support around him. And it just really, I think, brings full force home that mental illness is such a tough thing to handle as the people around you try to handle it when you are riddled with some form of mental illness plus addiction. So let's go to an authority on the matter. I mean, you know, somebody who knows and has dealt with this. Dr. Jay Singh is in our virtual green room, and Dr. Singh is pretty well known. He's a researcher, author, public speaker, educator, especially in the field of forensic mental health. He's published over 45 journal articles. I could go on and on, but this is in his wheelhouse. Hey, Dr. Singh, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, when we hear this story about Robin Williams and you attach it to suicide, and you know that most people are thinking, wow, he had the world by a tail. He, you know, had these grown children that he was crazy about and had movie roles and offers and all that sort of stuff. But you can't tell that to somebody's mind, right? It doesn't matter. So mental health doesn't discriminate whether you're rich or poor. Am I right?
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think that this is something where a lot of people are kind of having to grapple with this idea today of, wait a minute, he was a guy who, just think about over the past 24 hours, the tremendous outpouring of support and love for this man who really touched us all. I was just in the elevator a few minutes ago and was chatting about it with a vet, actually, and he told me, he said, you know, I got to be honest with you, he said, I can't think of one person in the world, he said, who would say, you know what, either as an actor or a character or as a stand-up comedian or just as a person, I don't like that guy. I don't like that Robin Williams. He was that quintessential everyman, and I think that today that's the reason why it really hurts that at a quite deep level for so many people is, this is a man who I think all of us saw a little bit of ourselves in.
Yeah. When somebody is going through that, even though they get, because he got help, he sought help, he talked about his problems with alcohol and whatnot. So if you would think somebody was going to make it because he was seeking help, he obviously felt so distraught. Talk about the power of the mind and how tough it is to fight various forms of depression.
Very much so. It's something where we're coming to realize more and more now than ever in the past, due to the amazing advances in technology that we've seen, these leaps and bounds over the past several decades, that what we refer to as mental illness really is a group of biological disorders similar to cancer or heart disease. So when we talk about something like major depression or bipolar disorder, these are disorders that are really biological in terms of you can take a look at brain functioning and you can see how these individuals have different sets of brain functions than individuals who are not suffering from these serious disorders. And this is why a lot of people, you know, they say, well, you know, listen, if he was feeling bad, everybody feels bad now and again, and everyone has their highs and lows in life, which is certainly true. But when we're dealing with something like a mental illness, this is really a different class of issues altogether, where it's really impacting your ability to socialize, your ability to work, become educated, and your ability to enjoy life, period.
So what do you do if you see those signs with somebody that you love? What do you do?
Absolutely. This is something where I think particularly today so many people have brought up, listen, I've got a spouse. I've got a kid, I've got a best friend, I've got a parent who is suffering from depression now. Like one out of every 10 Americans at some point in their life will be diagnosed with clinical depression, 3 out of 100 with bipolar disorder. It's something where at the end of the day, a lot of people get very scared by certain pieces of information thrown around, particularly on a day like today. So, for example, one statistic that you'll often hear is that individuals diagnosed with bipolar disorder are twice as likely to commit suicide. And so this, of course, puts people on edge and people start thinking, hey, you know, do I need to call my buddy and make sure that he's okay? Because I know that's what he's been diagnosed with. But in actuality, it's important to know that the rates of suicide in general are really quite low insofar as we're talking about 0.0001%. Of the population. So even if we double that, we're still talking about a fraction of a percentage here. And by treating people who have these diagnoses as a kind of the other, in other words, stigmatizing them even further in terms of kind of saying that they're different than other people, I think that this is something that we always need to keep in mind. Because at the end of the day, the last thing we want to do is to make people feel even more alienated than they might otherwise.
Yeah, well said. Is it still something, though, that you don't want out there? People don't want that label because of the red flags, the things that you just talked about that go up with so many people?
You know, I think that at the end of the day, we're moving in the right direction when it comes to that. Insofar as now more than ever, people seem willing to actually talk about mood disorders such as depression and bipolar disorder. It's kind of become part of our lingo, even though at times we misuse these terms. One of the things that I always respected greatly about Mr. Williams was his openness in talking about his personal struggles, and I think it really speaks to the strength of his character insofar as he's willing to really be open with that part of his life and show that, hey, even people that we put on such a high pedestal are not immune from mental illness. I think that that's something that we can really take from this situation as a positive.
Yeah, boy, so true. If you think you are, not someone around you, but if you think you're suffering from some form of depression, what do you advise people to do?
That's a great question. This is something where first thing that I'll say is never be afraid to seek help. Some people, believe, that there's something wrong with going and seeking therapeutic help. Not only is there nothing wrong with it, it's a very amiable, brave, and courageous thing to do. And the great part is about it being a diagnostic label is that at the end of the day, it suggests that what you're experiencing is something that we as professionals have seen before. And that for the most part, we know how to treat. We have certain pharmacological interventions, so drug-related interventions, as well as psychosocial interventions, so more talk therapy approaches that have been shown to be effective both with major depression as well as with bipolar disorder. So it's something where at the end of the day, there's certainly help out there to be able to get you back on your feet, which is always our aim.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? And when we talk about depression, Dr. Singh, is it demographically across the board? Are we seeing this more in younger children? Are we seeing it more in older adults? Or no, it's really almost anyone.
Sure. So when it comes specifically to bipolar disorder, we see that the average age, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is approximately 25 or so. Whereas when it comes to depression, this is really something that really cuts across age groups. But interestingly, a phenomenon that we've only seen start to develop over the past few years is that when it comes to suicide, it used to be that the group in terms of the age range where we would see suicide be the largest problem, certainly a problem across the lifespan, but the largest problem was juveniles, was youth, versus now what we see is just over the past few years is that this trend has actually shifted such that it's more the younger baby boomer generation, so individuals between 45 to 65, of which Mr. Williams was one, where this rate is becoming quite pronounced, and we're trying to do a good amount of public health work on our end as researchers to find out exactly why that is and how we can really intervene.
Yeah, one last one, Dr. Singh. I wonder if there's not, to seek individual therapy is great, but what about more groups? Wouldn't it be great if there were more groups? If we're taking off the handcuffs of being able to talk about mental health, wouldn't it be great if there were more groups, or is it just hard or, kind of a pipe dream to think you can pull that together?
Oh, definitely. Group therapy, this is something where, it's all about it. In German, we have a term, it's called Geschmackssache. It means personal preference, goodness of fit. And what we know when it comes to psychotherapy is that you're most likely to be successful if you have a very strong goodness of fit between kind of your personality and the kind of treatment that you're seeking out. So if you're someone who does better in a group context or in speaking to other people, then group therapy has certainly been shown to be an effective way to be able to treat a number of different conditions, including depression.
Yeah. I guess the last thing is that to realize you're not alone, correct?
Absolutely. Certainly not. And certainly everyone has their ups and downs, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking help, and I would really encourage anyone listening tonight who not only is feeling a little bit down, but maybe is having some thoughts that they wouldn't otherwise have about harming themselves, to please do give a call to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's a free call. People are there just to be able to listen to what you're going through, not to make any judgments whatsoever, and we just want to hear from you.
All right, well said. Dr. Jay Singh, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Another girl wows them at this year's Little League World Series, but she's not the only one or the first. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Tollhouse Morsels, helping you create special moments and memories your family will cherish forever. Visit us at tollhouse.com. You may bake for birthdays and holidays, but why stop there? Sweeten up the rest of the year by designating monthly dessert days. Treat your family to one of their favorites or surprise them with something new. Either way, you'll create a tradition everyone will love. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Thursday, when the Little League World Series starts in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, look for female pitcher Monet Davis. She threw a three-hitter to lead her Philadelphia team to an 8-0 win. Call her the Queen of the K. She struck out six in the sixth inning of that victory over a team from Delaware that she had beat previously. Her fastball was clocked at 70 miles an hour. By the way, she won't be the only girl competing. 12-year-old Emma March from British Columbia also qualified. Playing for her team in Canada, she's thrown a few no-hitters. Maria Pepe was the first girl to play at 11 years old in 1972. She played for a team from Hoboken for three games, but it stirred up controversy that ended up in court and kept her off the baseball diamond for the rest of her eligible years. She paved the way. 18 girls will have now competed. By the way, Pepe's hat is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. That's Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
Thank you.
is set. The field is set. Teams from Puerto Rico, Japan, Mexico, Australia, British Columbia, as I mentioned there, with the young 12-year-old who's a reliever, Emma March. She's part of that crew there. Also Illinois, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Texas. The World Series is the Little League World Series, now international, an international baseball tournament. So 11 and 13-year-olds, 11, 12, and 13, run by Little League Baseball. It is a very cool event. It began in 1947. Matt, I know you've been paying pretty close attention to this. It's cool that I think that you've got 18 girls that played, and now compared to the first in 1972, I don't think these boys care, really, if a girl plays. They just care if they win and if they're good.
Yeah, and I actually, growing up, I played my neighborhood Little League team. We had a girl on it, Lori Pletcher. I remember her. She lived down the block from me, and she was really quick, pretty good fielder, and I mean, she used to get on base and steal bases all the time. So she was a really good athlete, and all of her sisters played softball, and she wanted to play Little League with the boys. And, I mean, it was just, I don't know. I don't remember anybody making a big deal out about it, other than that's just Lori's on our team. That's all,
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, I don't think it is a big deal. I mean, it's kind of an interesting question. Now, that these are young girls, do you think ever in our lifetime we'll see a female Major League Baseball player?
I think with how teams want to win, if someone's good enough, they'll put someone on the team that can help them win. And it doesn't matter, you know, gender, race, sexual identity, anything. Because you're trying to get the best player in the best team, and if that person can help you do that, then, I mean, I don't see any reason why. And I also, now that I think about it, I played with a girl hockey growing up, too.
Oh.
Yeah. And she ended up being the star, because our high school team started girls hockey, I think, around when I was in, like, middle school, but this girl had grown up with me playing hockey, and she ended up being the captain of the team because she played with boys her entire life.
Ah, so she was good. She didn't care.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of it. That can't be an issue for sure. And all of this starts on Thursday. So, like, you have, I think, one of the early games, South Korea and the Czech Republic. You have Puerto Rico and Australia, South Dakota and Nevada. I'll be watching some of this. It's fun to watch. I think it's fun to watch the College World Series, and I think it's fun to watch the Little League World Series. Will you pay attention to this?
I've watched the Little League World Series probably every year.
Yeah,
I always get involved. I kind of attach myself to a couple teams and try to ride the wave with them. And I think it's entertaining. It's fun to watch these kids, you know, compete and just have fun out there. It's a little heartbreaking at times because you see these kids cry when they lose every once in a while. And so that's not great. But you end up with a lot of great plays. And, I mean, some of these guys go on and play in the major leagues that have played in the Little League World Series or other sports, too. You have, you know, because when you're younger, I know it's not as prevalent today as it was, you know, even 15 years ago. But these kids will play other sports, and, I mean, there's countless examples of people who have been in the Little League World Series that go on to be a professional player in other sports, as well as baseball. Todd Frazier is an example, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Little League turning 75, so 75th anniversary, very, very cool. Since we're doing a little sports shorts here, I think we should talk about what is really the biggest story in sports going. And it's Tony Stewart and what's going to happen after the death of another driver. And this had to do with something that happened on the dirt track before the Glenn Watkins race, the NASCAR race, which he didn't compete in. And here's what Sheriff Phil Proverve had to say about Tony Stewart and what they're doing as far as perhaps charging him with a crime.
The investigation into the death of Kevin Ward Jr. of Lewis County is ongoing and is expected to continue for at least another 2 weeks or more. Investigators continue to seek witnesses, gather evidence, and develop the racetrack crash reconstruction.
Wow. So what do you think? Do you think he's going to be charged with Ward's death in some way, what happened on that dirt track?
I think being charged and convicted are two completely different things, and I definitely could see him being charged with some kind of, you know, second-degree manslaughter or something like that. Just based on, and I mean, based on experience with, like, traffic accidents and other things I've read where, you know, it's an accident. I don't think he ever meant to do anything on purpose like this.
Yeah.
But still, when something like that, an accident that does happen, usually you're charged with some kind of manslaughter, and then, you know, you can go fight your way through court and find out what's going on. And then other examples where you have violent acts, and obviously it's different where there's some intent there, but you have, you know, Basil McRae in hockey, Bertuzzi with the Steve Moore thing, which that's still going on. That happened like 10 years ago, and they're still fighting it in court.
Yeah.
But, I mean, incidents like that where there is, you know, some kind of, you know, something that happens to the person in the sport, not just like some kind of injury, but where they're severely hurt or, you know, in this case, an accidental death, I would see that there's a chance he'll be charged with some kind of manslaughter and then they'll fight the legalities of it later.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably what will happen. It's funny because I saw a poll posted somewhere, I think it was on ESPN's website, where they were asking, should NASCAR penalize drivers for leaving their cars when they're in danger, when they're not in danger in the car during cautions? So now there's a whole big conversation about, period, getting out of the car no matter what and heading into the track. And so some of the conversation has been about that. But, I mean, what a huge tragedy. What a terrible thing. I guarantee Tony Stewart, if he could take that back, he would take it back today.
Yeah, and there's no knowing what was going through his head or what actually happened from his vantage point. You can't tell. I mean, there's some grainy cell phone video and people are, you know, making conclusions based upon it. And apparently there's some second video somewhere that the police have, but nobody else has seen. So you can't really tell. You can't make judgment on that. But at the same time, you know, this young kid, he's not alive anymore based on what happened on the track. And you have to think that, you know, coming out of your car, which ironically is something that Tony Stewart was kind of the start of, was getting out of your car and confronting drivers on the track.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously they're a different breed, but you can't imagine that's like the safest way to go about things. You know, go wait until you're in pit row and then fight your way through it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's interesting too because he skipped the race at in New York, and he's passed the chase for the Sprint Cup, the cutoff point. He's 24th. He's had wins that total over $3 million this year, but he's passed the championship at this point. Dale Earnhardt Jr. leads in the NASCAR Sprint Cup standings, but I guarantee his mind is very, very far from being worried about that. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight. You can email us anytime, 24/7, americatonight.net.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.